Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Press and go. Just press and go.
That's our motto.
Life's a show when you just press and go.
No, literally, that's our 2024 motto.
Just press and go.
We don't have time for glue. We need to just press and go.
Stop with the glue. Glue is so 2002.
Wow.
We're talking about impress, press on falsies, and press on manicure. The impress press on falsies are these lashes that require zero glue. They have a variety of different styles. I personally am a fan of the natural and also the wispies. I like applying a few just to the corner of my eyes. And honestly, this is faster for me than applying mascara. It is so quick. I gotta also tell you the falsies, one thing I forgot to mention, they're the underlash. It's underneath the lash. So they look super, super realistic. No glue, just press and go.
Speaking of press and go, let's talk about the Impress No Glue Manis that I am obsessed with. If you follow me, you know that I am in my press on era right now because I do not have time to sit in the chair at the salon like many of you for like 2 hours. And that's fine because thanks to Impress, you can have a super fabulous mani in seconds. You don't have to apply any glue. They come in all different styles. And the Impress manicure has a patented super hold adhesive for up to 7 days.
If you want to try the no glue mani or press-on falsies from Impress that won't damage your nails or lashes, just go to Impress, that's I-M-P-R-E-S-S beauty.com/Los Angeles, and then use our code Los Angeles at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and press-on falsies. Hi, Sarah.
Hi, Kirby.
Welcome to Los Angeles. Okay, I'm going to let Sarah get right into this because we have a fabulous guest and she is super psyched to read her bio
yes.
for you guys. So
okay.
Let's do it.
So, Charlotte Jo is an esthetician, author, co-founder of K-beauty destination SoCoGlam and skincare content site The Clog, and now the founder of Then I Met You, a direct-to-consumer skincare line focused on a meaningful experience and quality ingredients. It all started when Cho was an expat living in Seoul and discovered the world of Korean beauty and skincare after using the products and applying the Korean skincare first philosophy. She saw her skin and her confidence transform, and so she made it her mission to share those products and techniques with the US, despite the many people in the industry who doubted that anyone would care about unfamiliar Korean beauty brands.
That's hilarious.
I know. I love that. Okay. Back to the bio. Charlotte stayed the course and co-founded SoCoGlam in 2012. She is known as being one of the major players responsible for bringing K-beauty to the masses. And everyone knows it because Charlotte was named Entrepreneur's 100 Powerful Women in 2019, Adweek's Trailblazer of the Year in 2019, Women's Wear Daily's 40 Under 40 in 2018, and she was also a Bustle Rule Breaker,
woohoo,
among other things. She also authored The Little Book of Skincare and is currently working on her second book.
Yay, Charlotte! Welcome to Los Angeles.
I am stoked to be here. Thank you so much.
You're like the busiest person we know. No. You just came back from Korea. You did an event last night, and you are here with us today.
And looks glowing.
Oh my
gorgeous.
Gosh. I'm lucky.
Literally glass skin.
No,
truly.
Really?
Yeah.
I would die for that skin, girl. I'm just telling you.
There's some cushion compact on here. And there's a little bit of concealer.
Looks so natural.
Yes, it does. Okay, we're going to have to get like the lowdown on what you're doing.
Okay, Sarah, do you want to kick it off or you want me?
You kick it off, Kirby.
Since you just gave her grand entrance.
Yeah.
Okay, so we know how and why you started SoCoGlam. We don't want to harp on that because you've probably talked about it 800,000 times. But it's been 8 years now, and you've not only managed to stay relevant, but you've launched another brand of your own. Can you talk a little bit about how you've managed to stay successful amidst all of the competition and what you are doing at SoCoClam to stay current and innovative?
Yeah. Yes, great question. I know we are hitting our SoCoClam 7-year anniversary this December.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah. So it's pretty long time, you know, longer than I ever thought. Because when we first started SoCoClam, it was just a side project, side thing. And we were just kind of, it was a passion project. It wasn't meant to be big business or anything like that. And so definitely thankful to be here and excited to just constantly try to innovate and be kind of the first movers in everything that we do. And so it all started with SoCoClam. Everyone told us that wasn't going to work out and no one believed in this idea. But we stayed the course and we were able to start, you know, curating Korean beauty products and bring it to the masses in the U.S. And then we basically had the opportunity to continue to innovate. For example, the clog.
Yeah.
That's one example of people saying, you know, you need to have less clicks to check out. So it doesn't make sense to build all of this content around these products and lead them away to a separate site. But we're like, you know what? When it comes to skincare, people need information. They will be loyal to the products that you recommend if you really do give them thoughtful information that's curated for their specific skin type and really help them get to the root of the condition. And then they will come back. And sometimes they won't. Look, it's not going to be perfect.
Totally.
So, like, yeah, so you created this whole standalone content site that didn't, like, connect. I mean, you could click out to SoCoClam, but it wasn't like you discovered it through SoCoClam.
Exactly. Well, you used to live within SoCoClam, but we're like, wait a minute, there's so much information with skincare, as
you
know.
It should be on its own.
Yeah, and
which I'm sure a bunch of people were like, that's crazy.
Yeah, they're like, why would you invest all the resources and time in that? Just put some information on the PDP and put some information within, like, an e-commerce blog that typical retailers were doing. Don't put it outside on another URL. Like, you have to brand that. You have to do so much to get that running. And then what if they get distracted and go somewhere else and they don't click and go through your checkout process because they're so distracted now with the content? We're like, but we're okay. We're willing to take that risk because at the end of the day, skincare is such a wild beast of information and we need to have a lot more than we can like have on an actual e-commerce retail page.
Totally. And I think that there are so many brands trying to follow suit and do this, but they're not. It's hard work. It's hard to run an editorial website that feels authentic to like what people actually want to read. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because sometimes they're just doing it to cater to what the business goals are and not necessarily like, okay, as a consumer, what am I asking questions about with this product or this type of skincare service?
So. Right. And I think we've been able to stay innovative and be very customer-centric with SoCoClam because we don't have investors breathing down our backs saying, hey, why are you doing this? This is not making any sense. We don't agree with this, so therefore you can't do it. Because there is a lot of entrepreneurs out there that get roadblocks.
Totally.
They know in their gut and their heart they should go this way and they're being told what to do.
Mm-hmm.
If you give too much of your company away, it's just the natural course.
Of course.
And so we were able to do the clog in that way and stay innovative in that way. And we were able to do, you know, little things like skin consultations, like that sort of stuff that we do over text, over chat. It's really hard to scale that actually. Mm-hmm. That's why a lot of retailers don't offer that online, mm-hmm. even digitally.
Yeah.
But we were able to kind of invest in that. A lot of our inquiries that come to SoCoClam are actually skin focused. So actual recommendations they want for eye creams, for their age and their skin type. And if you think about a normal retailer, like would you ever email like Walmart or like any of these places that do sell beauty and ask them like, tell me what to use. I need a 5-step routine.
Totally.
Like over 50% of our inquiries are about that topic, mm-hmm. which is, I think, a unique relationship that we've built over the years and that trust in that community that we built.
That's
so
cool.
That's been a great part of like our journey. And I think what I love about this whole space, and my husband and I talk about this all the time, we're so excited that it's not just about K-beauty. K-beauty is definitely our entryway point into this, but we've affected just the skincare industry as a whole. So we always try to remain innovative. For example, Soco House over the summer, we had this huge 2-story space, 2,500 square feet, which is a lot in New York.
Yes.
And we're like, what are we gonna do with all the space? Well, we're gonna bring our top curation. So any customers that have rated our products 4.5 stars and above were put into a space, and we basically called it Soco House because we wanted people to go home with the products.
Totally.
And so it was a 2-month experience, pretty long term considering before then, we only had weekend pop-ups. Mm-hmm. And we really allowed people to go through the entire experience of finding skincare products that are right for their skin. And then they were able to test and experience it in their own skin fitting rooms, which cool. we called SoGo Sanctuary.
They had like cute. Sinks and everything, right?
Yeah. So I think the whole idea was kind of a test. We weren't sure it was going to stick and we didn't know it, but it was a great opportunity to say, hey, we don't like the way skincare retail is currently shaking out, where you're in this like aisle and then you're just touching mm-hmm. the product and putting it in your hand and swatching it
instead of actually applying it onto your face.
I think that works for like maybe makeup, because you're just seeing if it matches your skin tone and you could just put it on your lips. Mm-hmm. But then when it comes to skincare, it's just, you need to wash your face, you need to have it all over your face, you need to let it sit there. And how do you know if it's going to be the right fit for you? And so SoGo Sanctuary allows you to do that.
That's so cool.
And so it was really cool because 30% of our customers that walked through the door actually went into the SoGo Sanctuary, which is such a high percentage, considering you're going to have to take off your makeup. Or you know, not everyone took off their makeup, but they went in there with friends. They went mm-hmm. out. They went solo. There's a lot of men in the experience. And so that really got us excited, because it really spoke to our community, because I think we have a really skin like obsessed community.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So them wanting to do that and experience that in real life was like just kind of testament to how skin obsessed our community is and how much they really do want to engage with the product in real life.
I wonder how many more, you know, pop-up experiences we'll see now where people
totally
like they're like basically mimicking exactly what you guys started and tested out to see like I don't think a lot of brands would go, oh yeah, we're going to do this thing for 2 months.
Yeah.
First of all, that's a huge investment. Mm-hmm. And B, thinking like, oh yeah, we're going to ask people to actually test the products in real time. Because that's just not how it's been built.
Totally.
Like, we've been conditioned to just go into a store, test a texture on our hand or whatever, smell it.
Yeah.
And then buy it. And then if we don't like it, there's like a 30-day return policy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's really cool. And I just feel like we're probably going to see a lot more like, oh, and you can come into our pop-up and like try the products on the spot. You know what I mean? It'll be really interesting to see what happens.
And I love that the curation was based on the ratings that mm-hmm. your customers gave.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, it's not just product that you maybe personally are trying, your, you know, team is pushing, but it had to receive 4.5 stars or over.
At the end of the day, they're the king or queen.
Yeah.
And so it was important for that part of the piece of SoGo Glam's community to be injected to the in real life experience, because yes, we will literally discontinue products based on reviews. Mm-hmm. And we wanted people to know that we edited this selection on SoGoGlam.com, but when you come in real life, we're even editing it even further and curating it even further so that you know that everyone else likes it too.
Totally. So after years of, you know, curating products from Korea, you decided to launch your own brand.
Yes.
Then I met you. But it's super different from other beauty brands in that your intention and purpose behind launching it was it more than just like having great skin. Obviously, that's always like,
that's,
you know,
table stakes.
Yes.
Yes.
But it was about the feeling behind it and the process and a word called jeong, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
How do you say that again?
Cheong.
In Korean.
Okay.
Can you tell us a little bit about cheong and like how that related to skincare and like how you came to, you know, have that as be like a huge part of Then I Met You?
Yeah, for sure. So actually when I started SoGo Glam, about a year into that experience, people started asking me, when are you going to launch your line? That's like the clear next step. And I was like, wait a minute, just got started. I didn't even have my esthetician license at the time, never formulated products. I never even knew that world. So I was like, that's definitely something that's in the back of my head, but not something that I want to do anytime soon.
Yeah.
So that was so interesting to me that people felt that I needed to rush into it, because people started almost pressuring me into doing that.
Yeah.
But I took my time. I'm so glad I did, because there's so much I learned from that 5-year period. And then once around year 5 of the SoGo Glam journey, I started to want to create products, because I dipped my toes into product formulation through collaboration with brands.
Mm-hmm.
That was so essential, you know, writing the book, getting feedback from people throughout the entire 5 years when it came to curation. That was super important. And now, after 5 years, I felt very equipped. And I was like, okay, I'm ready. And it's funny because once I started, then I met you, I was like, whoa, this is the hardest experience I've ever had in my life. And how do people start it, you know, without this knowledge and experience?
Yeah.
It's like nerve-wracking.
And imagine how many people are launching beauty brands with zero experience.
Oh my God. I know. It makes me so sad.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, it is very nerve. And I think there's a lot of pressure because there's a lot of expectations built up as well. So maybe some of that was self-inflicted. But, yeah, I knew that I wanted to create something that was different. And so I wanted to take time before, you know, really keep getting that concept together. And when I thought about my journey and how, you know, it was 5 years in the making, I was thinking, okay, I learned two things while I was in Korea. Number one was KPD and skincare for sure. Mm-hmm. And that's what launched Soko Glam. But there's another thing that I learned in Korea that I loved, I absolutely loved about Korean culture, which was this concept of chong.
Okay.
That's a deep emotional connection you could have with someone. And you could see it in the interactions people had with each other. I worked at Samsung and they taught me that term and I started to notice it. Once they'd explained it to me and they described it to me, it was hard for me to understand because it's a foreign word and there's no direct English translation. But I started observing it in a lot of the culture and the relationships and the networks that were built. And so I said, that is so special. And I tried to use that cultural concept in my everyday personal life and professional life after I learned about it. And so I felt when I was living in Korea for 5 years, I took away those two things. And so I was like, this would be so cool if I could incorporate this foreign concept of chong, this feeling and this emotional connection, and infuse it into the brand that I met you, because I feel like it would project some positivity out into the world. So it's not just the physical, like taking care of your skin aspect that this line will also help contribute to, but also I will be able to talk about this concept in a meaningful way. Mm-hmm. And so that's how I fuse the two together. And that's why the name has like a sentimental ring to it. Like Then I Met You, it's supposed to signify a turning point in your life. Mm-hmm. It's supposed to make people think of something that's really important in a positive light. Like usually when you think of Then I Met You, it's like something may have been bad and then
I met
this
you.
Person or thing changed your mm-hmm. life, mm-hmm. changed things around, and then now you're in a better place.
Totally.
It's so beautiful when you describe it that way. So when you are using those products in your routine, are you thinking about these things when you are, you know, washing your face, applying your toner, applying the essence?
I think the theme of That I Met You is always to kind of go deeper in the things that matter, whether it's a skincare routine, whether it's relationships with your parents or your sibling or your best friend, even your dog. I think it's just meant to remind you because you need as many reminders to ground you what's meaningful in life. And I tend to forget that all the time. I'm very guilty of that. Going 100 miles per hour, I'm like, I forget. Right. I neglected my family for so long while I was doing Soko Glam, and I always felt like I had a reason, excuse. But, you know, just hearing the name of the brand and then just through all the newsletters we put out or the messaging we put on social, it's like a daily reminder for me and the team. And, you know, just trying to incorporate as much as possible. Because I think with all these distractions on social and everything, you just kind of need somebody to interject and be like, remember?
Yeah.
Remember how important that is? And that's what makes you happy. That's what's meaningful.
Yeah.
And so injecting into that has made me feel like this is far more purposeful than just skincare. Skincare is obviously very important to me, and it's table stakes that these products have to be effective. But what else can we do to bring positivity into the world?
And is that why you also only launched with the two-step cleansing?
Well, two-step, yeah. I started I think that was just me just getting my hands wet and really understand, because I wanted to see the reaction of the two products and then understand what a community wanted before creating more. And so I did the double cleanse. I started with that because that's what really changed my skin. It was a nod to my journey. Mm. And then after that, I was ready to do the toner and the essence. And we had the only two products for a year. So that was, you know, my social media team wanted to kill me.
Yeah.
Like two products
like,
every
help,
day.
Help us. So speaking of the products, we want to talk about the product development process.
Yeah.
This is something that Sarah and I are like inherently curious about. What are some of the myths and challenges behind product development? For example, many companies, which like we know, but I guess it's just one of those things that people don't talk about. Many companies will just white label existing formulas, which I think...
Which is why
when
I feel like
learned.
There's millions of products available, correct?
And I actually talked to Sarah about this a couple of weeks ago. I went somewhere and the person kept talking about how they sold out of their product online. And I was like, great, but like I just have a feeling she didn't form, like she did not create this. Like she just slapped her brand's name on it, which is very different right? Like, I don't want to discredit that person, but also I think it's important to, I mean,
to acknowledge.
Right? So can we kind of dive into that?
Yeah. I mean, it's so funny because unless you get into the product development process yourself, you'll notice that sometimes you'll try something and you'll be like, this is so similar to this other product.
Totally.
It might be that same product, but they just tweaked the concept ingredients slightly. So what manufacturers tend to do, this is in Korea or in Europe and US, it's all kind of similar. Okay. They have like new launches and new innovations that they'll like kind of pitch out, and then they'll ask you like, oh, which one do you like? And then you'll be like, oh, I like this one. And then you just, if your brand is all about ginseng, let's say, you're like, okay, then all they do is add a little bit of ginseng to make it like ginseng-y, you know? But the texture's the same, the efficacy is the same, the hydration levels are the same. And you know, it's fast. It's easy to just push it out. Like, and then you put your branding on it, and then it's a different product.
So I think of it like a platter. Like the labs or the companies are coming to each brand going,
yes,
we have these new innovations that are created. Like, do you want to take a pick of any of these little guys? And then you say, yeah, like this one and this one. And then we're going to throw ginseng in it or whatever.
Or add whatever flavor.
It's like a flavor.
Shot of flavor. To make it.
Which is so, it blows my mind, but we kind of got a taste of that when we went to Sephora and the Inky List said like, oh, you're going to see this ingredient a lot because we're the ones that came up with it. And like, it's not on the market right now, but then their lab was like, well, we would like to start taking this out to other people. And they were like, well,
they get really upset. I get upset too.
And it's like, they can't do anything about it, but it's just, you know, they're like, we take pride that we were the first, but you know, you're going to see this ingredient a lot more, and it's because of those certain things. So it's really interesting to hear, like, how this process works.
And can you, like, talk about why you decided to take the harder route?
So the Living Cleansing Balm, which is our hero product, that's part of the Double Cleanse, that one actually won 5 awards. And I think it's been only 1 year and 3 months since we launched, and we're really proud about that fact. And I know just from going through that experience and even breaking out in hives because I was so stressed about it, it took a long...
That was like I saw you last year.
Yeah.
You were like breaking out in hives after like the major success of this launch.
Oh my
gosh.
I was
like, what is going
success
on?
Success is so relative though.
Yeah.
But I think the Living Cleansing Balm, because I've been through that process and everyone in Korea... Luckily, because I had the connections and they knew Soko Glam and they wanted to work with us, they were willing to give us the top R&D person at that company. They were willing to work with us closely. They were willing to kind of deal with my constant requests and start from scratch. And they told me from the very beginning, this is not how it's done usually. Because I gave a list of ingredients I wanted. I knew exactly how I wanted it to be formulated. They just needed to make it a little stable where they had to give like suggestions on any like sort of alternative ingredients that, you know, weren't easily sourced or like, hard to get. And there's a lot of different pieces to this that they kept saying, wow, this is normally you never see the R&D person face to face. You're always going through a salesperson.
Wow.
And that salesperson might not be like a skincare expert. You'll never get the hands-on kind of fresh batch kind of like experience where you're trying to innovate in terms of removing certain ingredients. It's just like you're usually picking from like a platter, literally. And so they got kind of annoyed after a while because I was constantly pressing them to change this and change that and improve this. And they're like, gosh, you don't understand how lucky you are right now or how much time we're investing. But after that was all said and done, now they're super proud. And the R&D person's always checking our website, I heard. Aww. He told me that, like, to see the people's feedback and the reviews because he feels like we made something truly unique, something truly special. And then we have a lot of amazing reviews and awards and just customer feedback due to that, because you can't find anything like that on the market.
I think the standout piece of information, outside of it being like such a unique product, is that usually people are connecting with salespeople that don't know beauty.
Yep.
Holy moly.
Because they're so busy, they cannot possibly meet each individual brand founder or, you know, brand. There needs to be like a gate.
There has to be a gatekeeper, and I totally understand that, but it's just also insane to think like that a salesperson, because at the end of the day, it's their job to sell something that they're trying to help with their bottom line. So they're pushing maybe a specific ingredient or a specific formulation based on, you know, maybe some kickbacks that they're getting. I mean... I have so many thoughts about this.
Is that how trends start? Is that why we see a certain ingredient in so many products?
So that's what I was going to ask you, actually, because I had heard this as well. Like, essentially, you... If they're, you're seeing a bunch of, you know, CBD or whatever, like
matcha.
Yeah. It's because, like, it's like the platter situation.
There's, like, a salesperson that's like, okay, that's what we're selling.
This quarter. And then they kind of use that as leverage. So they'll be like, okay, so I'm just telling you right now that this brand and this brand are already coming out with, like, huge products with this ingredient. And so then everybody else wants to hop on because they know that it's going to be, like, the one ingredient everyone is using.
Is that how that works?
It is partly that. And also it's sad because, you know, we're really... Because we spend so much time and effort trying to create a holy grail product for each product that we launch, we try to get it very ironclad. We're like, you cannot share this formula, you cannot have any replicas, and we do NDAs and we do all these contracts. But at the end of the day, you can never go after them if they do replicate the formula, because as long as they tweak one little ingredient, it's a different formula.
I want to make a website where you just copy and paste the ingredients.
Yeah.
Or like you type in one ingredient and see how similar it's like, okay.
Or the formula.
No, truly. Like it's like this ingredient listing, because like they won't give you the formula, but they'll tell you everything that's in the product.
Yeah.
Like you have 8 similar matches with this ingredient. And you're like, okay, so should I buy the one that's $22 or $57? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I think that would be so interesting to be able to look up and kind of, because there are, like,
totally.
To our point that we talk about every single week, there's thousands of products at any given time.
Yeah. There's one Instagram account that does, like, a side-by-side comparison of, like, certain products that are, like, very similar to each other. And then it's usually, like, one is, like, a splurge and one is, like, a more, like, drugstore type or whatever.
Interesting.
And that always, like, blows my mind. And then I feel like Gothamista does a really good job of like breaking down ingredients and formulas and things. But yeah, I mean, but like imagine like we are in the beauty industry and we are like very keen to all of this. But like imagine just being a regular consumer and not knowing.
Totally.
Yeah.
It's just wild.
It kind of is. I mean, I feel like I'm in shock a little bit. Yeah. I'm like, I knew this, but you know, Charlotte's confirming it now. So
yeah. And imagine like a brand that has to launch, let's say if they have like a quota, they need to launch 20 products by next season. Need that platter system almost.
Because like,
right, because you're like going to dive deep and create unique formulas for each and every single SKU. It's going to take years to That's why sometimes when I see a founder or someone that's creating a line that you know they're very invested in their skincare like efficacy, and they really have this community that they need to, you know, really make sure they're happy with the products that they create, I trust that so much more because I know like they didn't just white label, you know, they have a criteria and a standard that they need to uphold. And so I'll trust that more than maybe even a big, large conglomerate.
This is maybe the dumbest question ever, but why would you have a 20 product quota?
Well, that's normal. I feel like large brands in the past had okay, this is our spring collection. They'll have like 20 products launching at
one
time.
Like for skincare?
Yeah.
Especially? Okay.
Now it's changed.
I was going to say I feel like makeup, I see that obviously.
Oh, yeah.
Makeup launches every year. I'm like, do we need 87 palettes?
Right.
But
makeup is even less innovative in the sense that there's not much innovation you do to like powders.
Totally.
So it's really just changing the pigment slightly to make different colors.
Wow.
That one is, it's really pretty standard.
That is so wild. Charlotte Cho is just dropping knowledge
on
Los Angeles.
It's a dirty little secret, I think, of the beauty industry.
I know.
So, and it's really, and I literally came from Korea, and one of the biggest meetings I had, because we're making more Timmy products, they were getting upset with us because we're taking too long. They're like, because
spending time.
Yeah, we're spending, this is a new partnership, so the other company knows us in our style, and this company is really aggravated because they're like, this is just ridiculous that it's taking this long. And it's like, in my head I was like, dude, you don't even know how long the cleansing balm took. If you're complaining now, you have,
you're just get ready.
But then they get all excited after it wins awards, and then they're like, oh, okay, and then they see
it should be refreshing to them that someone actually cares to take the time.
They're very...
To create these products.
The Korean beauty industry is so... It's not just the brands that have taken off because of this whole worldwide KBD craze. A lot of the products are now being made in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
So they're strapped now. Yeah. They have a lot of requests inbound coming from European brands, American brands. They're all making it in Korea now because all the innovation technology is there.
Totally.
So they're like, oh, well this brand is much larger and they have a lot of huge order volume. So they're going to focus on those, and they're like, and they're easier because they don't even care. They're just like, yeah, we'll take that one and just add some ginseng.
What is that like? I mean, because you know, obviously you were in Korea, you saw the Korean beauty, you know, landscape that was already successful there. And then obviously you brought it here to the United States, and then to have just seen it explode way that it has over the last decade. Fast. Can you talk to us a little bit about like what it looks like when you are there, like for meetings now, and like just seeing how many different brands are now having their products made in Korea?
Yeah. So I remember when I had to beg brands to let me carry them officially in the beginning, it was very Etsy shop like, where I would just buy the products in the stores on sale. And sometimes it would just have to be regular price because I just really wanted that product on the site. And then after that, it developed into, I finally got in contact with the brands because they noticed us and the press we were receiving and the community engagement. So I would be begging them to let us carry them products. And then finally they did. They're happy. And then, you know, our reputation grew in Korea, where people were like, go to Soko Glam because they have a really great voice and they talk about products in a very meaningful way. And they really educate their customers. So that transitioned. And now it's to the point where we're just getting so many inbounds, and then we're curating and we're rejecting most of the brands that come our way.
Wow.
And so that, you know, it's been kind of cool to see that transition. But now, it's been explosive from that point in 2012 to now, where it's like everything's made in Korea. So that line of what is K-beauty is being blurred, because like, well,
everything,
it's actually made all in Korea now.
Everything's being made there. So yeah, is it all K-beauty? No, it's not. That's crazy.
And, you know, just even when it comes to trends, Korean beauty trends are also, I think people always ask, because for so many years it was like, whoa, and there's cushion comebacks, and whoa, there's this and that. But now if you look at the trends, it's really about fine-tuning the perspective of certain, you know, existing trends. Like, if you're asking me for like a crazy, like innovative trend that everyone's into right now, I wouldn't be able to say something that's very like Instagrammable.
Mm-hmm.
It's very detail oriented. For example, they're really into acids now.
Okay.
But you know, that's a very Western thing. Like, come on, 8% glycolic, you know, all of the trending brands like Drunk Elephant, they have such a high percentage of acids. But in Korea, they're very gentle with their approach and they'll use mainly PHAs, or they'll use such a small percentage. And they're more about incremental changes to the skin with daily maintenance versus like, bam, crazy peeling sensation and irritation, you know, sometimes at least irritation. Some people, they do really well with those types of acids, but they have a very different approach to it. Yeah. And their thoughtfulness behind that is just coming from a different mindset when it comes to skincare. So I think that's interesting.
Yeah. PHAs are going to be huge in 2020. I feel like although acids have been popular here forever, like the more gentler approach is also going to take over in the United States.
So. Everyone's face is burning.
Yeah, everyone's like, my skin is gone. So can you help restore that?
is this vicious cycle?
Yeah.
Even I was listening to your earlier podcast about the Cosrx pimple patch they're using.
Oh, yeah.
And like that is even a different approach and mindset on the different format you can use in skincare to have a gentler approach to acne.
Totally.
Like that doesn't have any ingredients on it, actually.
Right.
It's literally a hydrocolloid patch.
Yeah,
that
bandage.
Versus like, let me attack with benzoyl peroxide.
Totally.
So that, and you just like delivery systems, like for cushion or for a sunscreen, is it a stick or is it in a cushion? Yeah. Or for cleansing, is it in a stick? You know, is it more travel friendly or is it more effective? You know, they are just a little more innovative in that thoughtful process of like, how can we change and innovate those little tweaks and to the product.
All right, guys, you've probably heard the term microbiome by now, and you'll be hearing even more about it this year when it comes to your skin's health. So think of it this way. The microbiome is a community of microorganisms, both good and bad, found inside your body and on your skin. And just like your gut, your skin needs a diverse community of bacteria in order to stay balanced and healthy.
An unbalanced microbiome can negatively affect your skin barrier, leading to inflammation, flare-ups, breakouts, and itching. Thanks to new technology, scientists now have a better understanding of how skincare formulas can impact the microbiome. For instance, prebiotic ingredients are actually food for probiotics, helping them grow and create a healthy environment on the skin. So try using a moisturizer with prebiotic oat like Aveeno Daily Moisturizing Lotion.
Or if your skin needs a little extra care, try the Aveeno Skin Relief or Eczema Therapy products, which can actually help restore an unbalanced microbiome to a healthier state. And the best part, you can get them all at Target. Okay, so you have obviously created an incredible community with Soko Glam, and now that I met you, or as you call it, Timmy.
Yes, little Timmy. For sure.
We love little Timmy.
Timmy Chalamet.
Timmy.
Oh, just kidding. Oh,
Timmy Chalamet.
There you guys should do a collab.
Oh my
Timmy
God.
Timmy for Timmy.
Sarah's obsession with Timothy Chalamet. Is
continue. Sorry, Kirby.
Okay, so you've grown it organically, and you haven't spent any money on advertising. That is completely bonkers.
Yeah.
How did you do it?
Well, Soko Glam, I truly believe the reason why Soko Glam is an amazing community right now is because we originated from a very like non-digital marketing, like advertising spend approach. It was very like, I'm a girl that just lived in Korea for 5 years. Here are these products I love and let me help you put a routine together and let me help you change your skin. That cultivated this like very genuine, authentic community. And I know those words are tossed around a lot, but literally because we had no money, we literally grew like in a very, very like natural way. And so that is largely how word of mouth people heard about Soko Glam.
Yeah.
And that created an amazing community. And then we wanted to take the same approach with That I Met You. Also because we didn't raise money to launch this brand. So it's not like we had like a bunch of money to spend in that department. But we're like, you know what? That's the best way. I know it's very... Like, for example, right now, Soko Glam, we do ads for Soko Glam.
Yeah.
But we knew that in order to create a community that really loved our brands and talked about it in a meaningful way to their friends, we can't hit it with a bunch of ads. We can't, like, run a Subway ad campaign and then get a bunch of followers but then have no one interact with us.
Totally.
And so it's a very, like, long journey, and it's kind of... It's very daunting because it is so hard now on social to like cut through the noise and really stand out.
Yeah, especially for brands. Like, yeah. I mean,
there's a million brands launching every day.
Totally. And just like from a personal standpoint, I feel like my Instagram, I'm like, does anybody I follow even see my photos? Like, have no clue. Like, at any given
anyone
time,
out there?
I'm like, yeah, hello, I...
And you have, like, a pretty big following, so it's like...
It honestly boggles my mind, though. Like, I feel like I have to strategize, which is so annoying.
And it takes
the fun like my diary.
Out of it.
Yeah, I just want it to be a diary of stuff. But I want to talk to Instagram because I want to be like, what's the point of me posting stuff to share with people I care about when they're not even going to see it?
Yeah,
like one of my best friends that follows me, I like one day I went through and she liked like 40 of my photos. I'm like, did you unfollow me or something? And she goes, no, I just don't see your photos as they pop up. I see your Instagram stories all the time, but I never see your photos. And so I can't imagine for some like a brand especially where it's 100 times harder for you guys. Because I feel like Instagram, especially for brands, they're like, oh, they're a brand. So if they want people to see stuff, they need to pay for the advertising for people to see it. It's so frustrating.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a harder journey. Trust me. It's very frustrating because like, it's like a blue light. As a brand, you're just like, oh, but if we just pulled that lever, you know, maybe we'll have like a lot more engagement or a lot more likes or followers. But, you know, didn't spend a cent on that. And we've been able to really have meaningful conversations, honestly, with our community that loves our products. And hopefully because the products speak for themselves, people gravitate towards following us and engaging with us. But I think it's because we have really, you know, we approach things very differently. The concept of Chong, people actually really like. Someone I met yesterday at the event I had at Things We Do said, you know, what I really like about That I Met You is that I don't know that this is even possible, but I think of your brand as being very kind.
Mm.
And so I was like, oh, that's that emotional connection that is really, really hard to, I think, create. But I guess people see us in that light. And I'm happy to kind of be known for that. I'd love that we can differentiate in that way. And I think that also our brand is very aesthetic. It has this periwinkle blue that everyone recognizes now. And so people want to take photos of our products, and they are so talented. Like the amount of art that comes out of that, just like in their homes, their lighting and everything. I'm just like, dude, that's better
people
than what
so
we
creative.
Can.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, than what we can do sometimes, you know, I'm just like really floored.
Totally.
And so just utilizing that has been really great because we're also showcasing their art and they're really excited when they get reposted. I know that's nothing new. I mean, people get excited all the time and they get reposted. Now everyone wants like a high follower count, but I think we really are highlighting artists in that way because they're utilizing our products as props.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's becoming like a thing. And so I'm really excited about that, to engage with our community in the most organic way possible.
Do you guys have a Facebook group?
We don't.
Oh my gosh, you guys would kill it on Facebook. I'm telling you right really? Now.
We have one, and people
I've been neglecting
constantly,
that.
Constantly looking for skincare advice, but also communicating with each other and giving each other tips.
Like we will chime in every once in a while. Like I'm like, oh yeah, the Facebook group, and I go in there, and it's self sustaining.
Oh, yeah,
like
yeah,
they are
yeah.
talking.
It's like a Reddit, nicer Reddit.
Yes, totally,
it's a nicer Reddit. They're all like lovely, charismatic,
so
kind
positive.
People.
Okay,
but what I was gonna say is. Especially for you and like what you're doing, like building this community, like the clog should have Aww. Its own Facebook group. So like make a Facebook page.
I love that.
Make
Thank
a
you.
Group.
I'll take the advice.
I will be a moderator. Say then.
like you could have like guest moderators.
Yes. Actually, someone on the marketing team for SoGlam mentioned this. So I'm going to look into this again because this is the second time I've heard this.
It's a dumpster fire. I'll just put it out there. But the groups are what is saving Facebook because it's a bunch of like-minded people. Like, I never get on my own Facebook page. I just get on to connect with people that are following me and then the Los Angeles Facebook page.
And when we were, I was talking to Patrick, the other, her boyfriend who works it like for The Ringer in social media. He knows like so much. He was like, haven't you noticed there's been so many more ads for Facebook groups? And I was like, totally. Like that, like, Corgi Dog Beach meetup
yes.
ad. And I was like, it's because it is so successful.
Yeah, yeah, it really is.
I have to admit, I do avoid Facebook personally because of just all the news.
Same.
And
yeah,
just like, I think that's why I'm like, it's not even part of my consideration set sometimes, but I do have to revisit. You know, if there's goodness that comes out of it, it's probably the
groups. Totally.
My biggest criticism of it would be that it would allow me just to sign on specifically to the group and not have to see anything else on my newsfeed because I don't want to see a lot of that noise.
Yeah.
Like, let's be real.
No, I'm trying to sell you some.
I don't need some sense. Unique mascara. Thank you. Sorry. But yes, that's my business proposal for you.
Yes.
Great. Start the Facebook
thank
group.
Thank you.
I know.
I'm with the beauty
like,
experts here.
Yeah,
advice. No, seriously.
But you guys will have a heyday. It'll be so much fun.
Okay. So I want to bring it back to K-Beauty for a second. So I think that a lot of people still associate K-Beauty with like 10 or 12 step routine.
Oh, yeah.
Is that still something that you or like people in Korea are doing? No one has time, right, anymore to do that? Or like what's like the modern K-Beauty routine?
They don't have the budget.
Yeah, they don't have the budget.
Do you know the backstory behind the 10 step skincare routine?
No.
I think I told you this.
Tell me.
I don't know. It's been so long.
Yeah, so I did coin the phrase the Korean 10 step skincare routine. And actually when we started with SoGlam, I was having a meeting with Elle, and they wanted to talk about, I told them, it's crazy when you go to Korea, they have like a vanity filled with skincare products, but me, I had like a moisturizer and a bar of soap.
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, yeah, it's like 10 different steps. And so she's like, oh, break it down for me. What are the different products that you could use in your routine? So where would you start? How would you start double cleanse? And then how does it end? So people know how to incorporate the steps in the routine. And then it became a thing where it's like, the article was published as, this is a 10-step skincare routine.
Mm.
This is a Korean 10-skincare routine. So my intention was never to say, like,
yeah.
you must use every product.
Oh, my gosh.
How could you use a sheet mask every day, morning and night? That's, like, ridiculous.
Totally. And if you still Google, like, Korean beauty routine 10-step, like, Charlotte's Elle article, like, they
still,
that must be their highest traffic driver.
They did say
honestly,
for that year was...
Because they also have updated recently, because they have to. Everyone is updating their SEO stories.
SEO-wise,
but,
like...
That just blows my mind.
But I mean, it honestly, there are people out there that do that, and
a sheet mask every day, and they don't break out.
I mean, honestly, in Korea, sheet masks are like that is a daily thing. A lot of people call it one pack one day, and
yes.
they show that like how much hydration can help your skin in that format.
Oh, I would do a sheet mask day and night.
But do you have time?
Yeah, you might not have time.
I work from home now, Sarah.
Okay, yeah, you're right.
Just telling you.
All right.
Life is grand on this side of the tracks.
But I mean, when you literally layer your skin with that much moisture, you will see results. And so whether you do 8 steps, 10 steps, 5 steps, like really I do believe in the idea of layering and the impact that it could have on your skin, especially when you like don't use any product and then suddenly you do give your skin that moisture, you're going to glow.
Especially
and
living out here in LA.
Yeah.
So dry.
Mm-hmm. So I think that for me, for example, this morning I did like 6 steps. You know, so that is not the 10 step, but everyone assumes that because of me coining that phrase, I use 10 step. No, I don't have time for a sheet mask every day.
Yeah.
But, and then if you go to Korea, there's people with really extensive routines and there's people with like minimal routines. So you can't just blanket statement it. But
Wait, let's skip to that question. What are you currently using right now for your 6 steps?
So the Timmy double cleanse. Okay, so I am using the 4 steps from Timmy. So the oil cleanser, the Living Cleansing Balm, then the Ceiling Tea Cleansing Gel. And then after that, I go into toning. So the toner is the Birch Milk Refining Toner. That is a game changer for my hormonal acne.
Ooh, okay.
So I dealt with hormone acne since I was age 30. It hit me like a ton of bricks. It was like a switch that went on. And I tried everything. That's when I started curating Cosrx because I was super interested in finding something to treat my pimples. And then I kind of gave up after 4 years because, like, it's never going to go away. There's always going to be a blemish on my chin. And when I was creating the toner, I really meant for it to refine, just, like, buff out fine lines and help, like, kind of maintain my pores.
Yeah.
But what it did was it actually helped my acne. This is, like, no joke. Like, I never expected it and never planned. And it helped me so much with that that I talk about it in the marketing for the toner, but I'm like, I never promise it because hormonal acne, that's like a huge beast.
Such a personal thing too.
Yeah, totally. It's like there's internal, so many factors. It's genetics, it's stress, there's so much. So for me, it worked out, but a lot of people have been reporting back now that we've launched for 3 months that it's helped with reduce like bumps. It's helped reduce some of their breakouts. Mm. Some people have shown, yesterday at the event, they showed me before and after pictures because they started using it. And they're like, it helped me so much with my hormone acne too. But some people said it didn't work.
Yeah.
So it's like kind of a crapshoot, but I do believe it leans more towards, it does help with maintaining your pores and cleaning that out so that you could get the best like complexion you can get with that. It's totally a 1% chemical exfoliant toner that you could use every day. So that, and then I have the Giving Essence. So I've been using that consistently because I also want to be experiencing as long as possible to give the right advice for people that are using the products. And then I used an eye cream. And so that I'm using the Ellen Cilia eye cream that won the Best of K-Beauty Award from SoCoGlam.
Okay.
It's nice, balmy texture. It looks good under makeup, doesn't like melt with my makeup or anything like that. So that's a game changer. And then I have a moisturizer. I can't reveal what I'm...
Oh, girl.
That's more tests.
Keep tabs on that one.
That is something that I'm working on for Timmy. So that I can't really share details on, but... and then sunscreen. So I guess it was seven.
Okay.
What's your favorite sunscreen?
I have two. The Neogen Daylight Sunscreen.
Yep. Which is the one that I...
Have you...
The one with the blue cap?
Yeah.
Or the one cap? With the...
The gold.
Oh, the gold one. Sorry, yeah, yeah. The gold one.
Wait, are you using it too?
No.
Oh,
no,
I am.
Yeah, that's exactly like one of my favorites.
Because I'm
trying. I literally only use sunscreen that Charlotte uses and tells me to use.
That one is amazing. It's like our bestseller. And it's... Yeah, it won awards. It's so good. And then... also the Thank You Farmer sunscreen.
Oh yeah, Thank You Farmer.
Do you like
one? Have you heard of this brand?
No.
I remember because I did a video on this peel off, like a primer that you would put on.
And you peel it off?
And you would peel it off. And it was supposed to be like a protective layer between your skin and your makeup. It was really interesting. But that's how I learned about the brand Thank You Farmer.
Oh.
Because I think the name is so funny.
I know.
Like, Thank You Farmer.
Well, it's very like farm to face kind of. Yeah, they're trying to go for that. Yeah.
But I have a few of their products at home. Somebody sent them to me. And I don't know who,
but I like to look
into
this.
I need to start reincorporating them.
Where can we buy it on SoCoGlam?
Yeah, I'll send you guys the sunscreen. It's a good one.
What's the SPF?
Is it 50?
Yeah.
PA,
it's pretty standard.
Plus. Okay.
It's a good one.
I want to ask one more question. Yeah. What is the most underrated Korean beauty product in your opinion?
Oh, man.
The cushion compact.
I do use a cushion compact
That was
day.
Me. That was Sarah just chiming in, not knowing anything.
I do love the cushion compact.
You know, it's every Korean girl has a cushion compact in their vanity. It's you go to a cafe, people are... It's just like a staple, but I noticed it just didn't really take off that much in the U.S.
Yeah, that's so weird.
It's like my favorite thing ever. And because it achieves, like Charlotte is saying that she's wearing it right now, but it doesn't look like you're wearing any makeup.
No.
And your skin looks flawless.
Her skin is just very dewy and flawless.
It's because like it doesn't give that much coverage. And I can understand because as I'm getting older, I have more pronounced like dark spots and sunspots. And so like I will be like, it didn't really cover it as well as it did before, because now I have different skin concerns.
Totally.
So I think that's what prevents people from liking it.
I also noticed that I like how it looks on me day to day, but then if I go anywhere that I need to be photographed, it doesn't look good
it
in photographs.
It looks a little just shiny.
Yeah.
It's more of like a everyday. I mean, that's typical though with all different types of makeup, in my opinion.
Right.
You know, like the on-camera makeup looks great on YouTube and in like, you know, photos, but then you get in real life and you're like why am I wearing a mask of makeup? You know, like it's different.
Yeah. Right.
It's so funny. A lot of Korean women are loving Western makeup trends.
Really?
Yeah, it's like coming full circle.
What?
Yeah. So it's like the Instagram.
Yes.
The contour.
They love the contour.
What?
Yeah. They love, they're very, freaking, I guess, influenced by Kim Kardashian. I don't know.
Yeah.
But when I go to Korean makeup shops in Korea, I was just there like literally 36 hours ago. But
that's crazy.
And I would observe every time I went to a store, a lot of the women were on the makeup section.
Wow.
And they were like, and there's a lot of makeup brands coming into Korea now. It's like, they just launched a Sephora recently.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I didn't realize that.
It was like a month ago where they launched a Sephora and they were opening up two more. Oh God, and so they have a lot of brands like Urban Decay and Huda Beauty and all of the stuff that normally they wouldn't have, and they're all
that's
like there.
So crazy.
And they're just, they're really into the bright red lips and like the.
I have a question. So obviously, like plastic surgery is really big in Korea. What people are asking for, has that changed like been influenced by Western beauty standards?
Oh, I think they're more into the subtle stuff.
Okay.
I think they were just like, oh, like a high bridge, like a Roman nose.
You know? Yeah, yeah.
And then now, like if you see like Miss Korea's from like 1980s, like they're just really trying to replicate like more of a Western look. Mm-hmm. But I think now it's just more subtle. Like, have you heard of threading?
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Like Vanessa, I'm like fascinated by those posts.
Yes! Okay, because we're doing an episode on this. We're doing a whole episode on this.
But like, everyone people have been doing threading in Korea.
It's not eyebrow threading, by the way.
No. Yeah,
we're talking about the threads.
So they're sutures. They're sugar sutures with these little cones on them. And I mean, I actually talked to my eyelash girl. So she, and I've talked to Vanessa about this too, because Vanessa does it for the lip. So it can lift your lip without plumping it. Basically, threads are a better form of filler. Mm-hmm. Filler makes your face bigger. And so a lot of times what women will do is say, I feel like I have jowls or I need a lift. I want my eyebrows lifted. And so they'll inject filler like up at your temples to lift your eyebrows. They'll inject more filler in your cheeks and make you super huge and bloated looking. And it just makes you look crazy.
Yeah.
Sorry if you are overdoing it, but you will look crazy.
Yeah.
And so a lot of your favorite actresses have threads. If they look good and they're older, they probably have threads. I'm not trying to be an
and
asshole
then it
here, but truly.
After a while.
They dissolve after a year and a half. So the one thing that I was the most scared about, though, because I'm like, I want to try this. Why
you
not?
You should, so that we can talk about it.
But do you see? Okay, so if you get on Instagram, you can see people doing it, and it's terrifying.
If you're scared of needles,
girl, though, said she was 100% awake when it happened. She didn't feel anything.
Numbing, right?
Yeah, and that she just felt a little tug with the lift. But she looks amazing. Yeah. Like, it's so subtle, and
people slim your like jawline.
Yep,
it's almost
you
like
could even it, you could even help
neck.
It.
Yeah, the doctor that we're going.
To... Are you pointing to your vagina?
No, sorry. I'm patting my knees. The doctor that I spoke to about this, because there's only one FDA approved in the United States. It's called the Silhouette InstaLift.
Okay.
Which, if you're going to do this, it should be FDA approved.
Yeah.
But they have been putting it in women's knees to lift their knees so that they don't have saggy knees.
That is next level.
That is smart.
Beverly Hills wives. That's like just honestly, looking for like a new treatment.
Totally.
It's like the neck, the hands, and the kneecaps are your most telltale signs.
Totally.
I think. Yeah. So
I didn't even think that. About my knees.
Maybe you have nice knees, but I'm noticing that. have
like little tiny legs and knees. For me,
I have
like I want a new leg.
Knees, it's not good.
We have bad knees as Capricorns.
Threading technique. I talked to Vanessa about it yesterday.
What did she say?
She said number one that she described the pain as like you're plucking your eyebrow hairs.
Yeah.
So that's not too bad.
No.
And then she did mention that threading actually originated from Asia.
Yeah.
So I'm curious to know about that brand you mentioned. It's only FDA approved in the U.S. But she said the threads she gets for her clinic are Korean.
So okay,
well, because they've been doing it. Because I have friends whose sisters, aunts travel to Korea to get everything done.
Medical tourism, huge.
But
there.
Oh my God. I've like, my sister wants to go on one for her 50th birthday. Well, she wants to go on a medical tour in Korea. I was like, I'll come with you.
Can I come with?
Yeah.
I will super do that.
Like they will put, it's like specifically for.
Oh no, I looked this up.
Yeah, yeah.
Because when I was looking into threads, I'm like, do we this?
We should go and cover it.
And then I obviously saw Korea was the place, and like, you get put up in this like nice spa situation and they take such great care of you when you're talking about like the FDA approval and stuff. So the one that I am talking about originated in Europe. Okay. And so they've been there. It's Sinclair, and they've been in Europe for like years at this point.
Okay.
And then they finally brought it to the United States and got it FDA approved.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's like a real, it's so interesting, but there's so many different versions of it, but they're sugar sutures. All I would say is make sure you're going to someone that has done this a lot, yes, several,
yes,
times.
Yes,
because,
yes,
you don't want any weird pinched, yeah, nerves, with, or
there's
anything
always
like that.
Risks, right? Totally. In, with any kind of invasive. Is this considered invasive?
This, well, is, that's my question.
Yeah, yeah, maybe
it's like semi
invasive.
Yeah,
but
I
you're
know.
Awake.
Yeah, they're, yeah, not putting you down or anything.
And you're not, no, cutting
under,
you.
Not down.
I think they would, yeah, have to. I asked the doctor who will be on this podcast. I was like, do you give people laughing gas? Because, like, I feel like I would need to be sedated.
Yeah.
And he was, sure, like, for some people that are nervous, I'll give them, like, a little bit to take the edge off.
Well, yeah. I was talking to Shawnee about it because she, yeah, you know, and she was like, you can't have, like, a mirror in front of you and watch yourself do,
no,
it. You just need to, like,
just let it,
you
happen,
let it happen, yeah, and then look after
but
you want.
Charlotte's talking about Vanessa at The Things We Do.
Yes.
And she will post on her Instagram stories, like, videos. Ooh,
it needs
happening
to have, does it have the, like, this content made?
Well, she doesn't usually post it on her feed.
Okay. Yeah. Oh,
but
yeah, that's
her,
right,
Instagram story, you can go and see.
Because I have stumbled on it one, like, a few times, and I'm like, I can't, no.
I feel
no
like the best beauty treatments originate from, like, it was meant for a medical thing.
Yes.
And, yeah, then it became a beauty treatment. For example, like, BB cream was originated because they used to prescribe that for people who had surgery.
Yeah.
And then they wanted to give, like, a balm that was moisturizing and hydrating for that area to improve in texture and also, like,
oh,
feel. But they also wanted a little bit of coverage because there was a scar. So that ended up being on people's faces as regular makeup. And then even the pimple patches, like, yeah, that was actually meant to just be a Band-Aid.
Totally.
Or even, like, little minor stitches.
Yeah.
And so then, but then they use it as a pimple patch now.
Yeah.
And so
crazy.
Now I think even, like, the sugar sutures, it was meant for, like, I heard that Vanessa was mentioning this yesterday in the panel, that doctors use sugar sutures to help with, like, kids that needed heart valve surgery. Like,
yes,
tiny, tiny hearts that are very delicate. And the only thing that would really work is sugar sutures. So now we're using it for our faces. You know, so, like, I think that's
actually
the best,
clinically, yeah, proven to stimulate collagen,
yes, exactly,
production, which is, like, the,
yeah,
crazy part.
Yeah.
So anyways, wow, Charlotte's going to join us for the next episode on Threads.
I'm going to listen to
and then
the Threads podcast and
we're
take notes.
You're going to come with us when
we're
I get
do
mine.
Super Los intrigued. Angeles on the road and take it to, well, to go to Korea and do a tour.
Oh my God, I would do that in a heartbeat. Can you imagine if it was like the Los Angeles, like, Korean medical tour and we're just getting all this stuff done to our faces?
Yes.
I would do that.
That sounds fun.
Sign me up. All right, guys. So that was our interview with Charlotte. Charlotte, thank you so much
thank
for coming
you
on.
So much. I had so much fun. I feel like we covered so much ground.
We did.
And we still have
not
so much
K-Beauty,
more to talk
but
about. So we're going to have to do a part two
yes,
in the new year.
Please
yeah.
come back. We would love to
yeah,
have you,
I would
obviously.
Love to.
And thanks for just being so open and honest. And I feel like this was such an informational episode that a lot of people are going to learn from. So
totally.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Especially, like, I feel like as a founder of multiple brands, people, I mean, like, you know, like to
steer
keep,
away.
They like to keep secrets to themselves. And you're just, like, so lovely.
Oh,
thank you for
thank
sharing
you.
Your
no,
wisdom with
I
us.
I love your podcast.
Yay.
A big supporter. And, yeah, can't wait to see it grow.
Oh, you're so sweet. So just for everybody listening, where can they find you?
And your brands.
Yes.
On Instagram.
Yep.
My personal, at Charlotte J. Cho.
Okay, great.
And then just thenimetyou.com and sokoglenn.com.
Yay! Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
You know where you can find us. We're on Instagram at @gloss_Angeles, Twitter at @GlossAngelesPod, and, of course, find us on Facebook. Search Gloss Angeles and join our thriving Facebook group. And we'll see you next time. Bye.
Thanks, bye.
Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.